Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Tuesday, May 5th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. I guess that means it's Cinco de Mayo. Title of today's podcast, it's a question, war propaganda beginning. We're going to cover a few stories. Venezuela is going to again make the top of the list. Do we have a modern day Bay of Pigs? We'll get into that. Discuss market performance, COVID-19, the intelligence assessment, which is also a part of this broader discussion as to war propaganda. And remember, this does not mean that it has to be a hot kinetic war with military ammunition, guns blazing, navies, air forces. It doesn't have to be like that. It can be economic, it can be cyber, it can be a whole host of things. But it's quite possible that a kinetic hot war could take place as well. Just keep that in the back of your mind, that when we talk about war here, it could be many, many different forms, or all of the above. So market performance first here in the States. I mean, the market's just opened up. All up higher for the day, cruising. They were at cruising altitude, and at the end of the day, they sold off. Still up for the day, but they all sold off. In the futures trading right now, we have the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 both flat. The NASDAQ 100 is trading up about 0.4% across the pond. In Europe, all the markets were up. Of course, yesterday they were down big. They're up big today, up 2% pretty much across the board. Australia is currently down about 0.7%. On the commodity front, big day in oil, big. So much that Thunder Thumbs had to come out and pretty much congratulate himself on getting those oil prices back up. WTI trading at $24.58 a barrel. Brent, the international metric, is at $30.91 a barrel. Natural gas continues to be north of $2, trading at $2.07 per million British thermal units. We have gold and silver. Gold, $1,701 an ounce. Silver at $15.03. Now back to the WTI, those oil prices getting back up there, and the president applauding this. Again, he wants to have both sides of the coin. All depends on the day, all depends on the argument. Sometimes it's considered the best tax cut ever to have lower prices. Great thing for the U.S. consumer. And now this time around, no, it's not good for the energy sector to have these low prices. So somebody's got to take a hit, somebody's got to take a bath, somebody has to get bailed out. And of course, we know from the president's remarks, from Steven Mnuchin's remarks, the Treasury Secretary, that the energy sector will get bailed out. We already know that this was basically going to take place regardless, because we know that the Federal Reserve is getting ready. They haven't done so yet, but they're getting ready to start purchasing junk bonds. And of course, the energy space takes up a lot of that junk bond market. So connect the dots here, people. It was already in the works with your money. But don't worry about it. You're going to get $1,200. Sit down and shut up. On the bond front, U.S. 10-year Treasury note up, trading at 0.66%. So is there a sell-off in the bond market to get these yields a little bit higher? Is it a risk-on event? We're going to start printing Great Depression. I mean, you can't. You're either going to laugh or you're going to cry. That's the environment we're in. We are going to start printing, and in some cases we already have, started to print economic data that is as bad, if not worse, than the Great Depression. And the month of April was one of the best months in the stock market ever. Ever. We are in a recession. We are likely headed for a depression, and the stock market just yippee-ki-yay keeps going up, 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 and away because we're printing trillions of dollars. The Federal Reserve is printing trillions of dollars. The federal government is going to borrow $3 trillion over the next 3 months, money that we don't have. Spend it. Can't afford to do it. Little context, like we said yesterday, that $3 trillion, that's almost 100% of what the federal government brings in through taxation throughout the entire year. $3.5 trillion, all gone in 3 months. You understand why we explain what debt is here on this program? It is theft from the future. It's all it does. It brings forward production and consumption. It's going to take one full year one full year to pay this off, and that's just for 3 months. And that assumes that GDP and economic growth remains what it was before that generated that $3.5 trillion in government revenue, which is not the case. Corporations are going bankrupt. Small businesses are going bankrupt. 30 million Americans, more than that, are unemployed. Or they have a reduction in pay. So you're not going to generate that type of revenue. We are digging a bigger and deeper and wider hole every single second, and nobody stands up and says enough is enough. Nobody questions it. Nobody says it's outrageous. Nobody says this is a flawed and fraudulent economic policy. Nobody cares because it's very politically convenient for all of our politicians, Republicans, Democrats, the administration officials, up to the president himself. Let's just print the money. Let's just borrow it. Nobody wants to buy it, but the Fed will. Banana Republic we have here, ladies and gentlemen. So that's the market news, but it's interesting to see what these yields in the bond market are going to do because, look, there's so much distortion taking place. You have to ask yourself, well, what does it mean with yields going in either direction? If they're going down, well, is that what the Federal Reserve wants, right? They want the lower rates, so they're having control over the bond market. They're being successful in their operations to keep a lid on these interest rates. Higher interest rates, well, does that mean that the stock market's going to go back up because, well, I guess it's a risk-on event? Or is it because, well, maybe the market's starting to sniff out, maybe there is going to be some inflation? What's going to happen here? Or is the market saying, you know what, we don't like this funny money. We don't like all of this Banana Republic behavior. And if we're going to come into the market to purchase Uncle Sam's debt, you're going to have to give us something. And 0.6% ain't going to do it. A lot of questions to ask, but this is the problem here when you have these idiots pulling on all of these levers, thinking that they know what's best. This creates a huge amount of distortionary effect, which in turn creates a huge amount of malinvestment, which we are in the process of going through. That's what we are seeing. People living paycheck to paycheck, corporations that are over-leveraged, too much debt saturation. One thing after the next. This causes the malinvestment, all of these distortionary effects, because policymakers think they know best, and they do not. You want to pull that much future growth forward to today? Well, you're going to have to pay the piper. And the United States is not alone in this. This has been a global problem for years. COVID-19 just highlights all of this. It just exacerbates this. Makes it that much worse. Makes the day of reckoning come that much quicker. But of course, how do you solve a debt problem? Well, just ask any idiot in government or in a central bank, and they'll tell you, well, more debt, of course. No leadership, no truth-telling. Just continue with the nonsense and the insanity and expect a different result. And then, of course, when all else fails, they take us to war, right? So here first, this is out of Reuters. Top U.S. general, we don't know if coronavirus emerged from a Chinese lab. The top U.S. general said on Tuesday it was still unknown whether the coronavirus emerged from a wet market in China, a laboratory, or some other location, but reaffirmed the U.S. view that it was probably not man-made. Did it come out of the virology lab in Wuhan? Did it occur in a wet market there in Wuhan? Did it occur somewhere else? And the answer to that is we don't know. Army General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, told a news conference, adding the U.S. government was looking into it. The remark stood in stark contrast to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's assessment on Sunday that there was, quote, a significant amount of evidence, end quote, that the new coronavirus emerged from a Chinese laboratory. You know, ladies and gentlemen, how many times, how many podcasts have we had here again with those titles? Who to believe, what to believe, does the truth matter, who cares, all this nonsense, right? We are supposed to be a republic of, by, and for the people. That means we're supposed to be making some of these decisions. Well, you have to have an informed electorate to elect an informed governmental body. We get all of these different stories from people within our own government at the highest levels. Secretary of State, in line to become the Commander-in-Chief. Joint Chiefs of Staff. These aren't some underlings. These aren't some interns. These are the highest levels of government. These are the people that are supposed to keep our most secure secrets, telling us different things. Who to believe, what to believe. Does it matter? Oh, the consequence, by the way, we could be in war. It could be a war. It could be military. It could be a bio war. It could be a chemical war. It could be economic warfare. It could be cyber warfare. You know, but, you know, Secretary of State will tell us one thing. Joint Chiefs of Staff and some others will tell us another. Is this just a game? Is this just good cop, bad cop? Because haven't the rules reversed if that's the case? Isn't the Defense Department usually the bad cop? Because he's the ones with all the guns. And isn't the State Department usually the good cop? Because they're the ones who are supposed to be diplomatic. Say, oh, wait a minute. You can talk to us here at the State Department, and we can solve this peacefully and civilly, or I can show you what they're cooking up over there at the Defense Department. So what's going on here? Because you hear the same stuff from Mike Pompeo that's pretty much what the president is also saying or hinting at. He's very good at hinting at certain things, isn't he? And it's not going to take much to get people in this country all jacked up about China and this virus. What did they know? When did they know it? Was this out of a wet market? Was this out of a lab? Was it intentional? Was it accidental? Very easy. People are going to connect the dots they want to connect because it's what they want to believe. That's why there is no leadership here. So many conflicting stories. If this is a game, then let them go fight it. If it's just a game to them. Because unfortunately what's going to happen is a bunch of young people are going to be sent to die somewhere. That's what happens. These idiots never go. It's your kids, it's your grandkids, it's your sons and daughters who go and fight. And for what? Because these idiots are playing some type of game? You know, it wasn't that long ago, ladies and gentlemen, the Bush administration, slam dunk, Mr. President, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. Not there. Hundreds of billions of dollars later that we didn't have then, don't have now, spent, gone, ruined. Lives destroyed. People turned into refugees. People killed. Is this what we're supposed to be doing? Does this sound right to you? But here you have it. So they're just setting the stage back and forth. We don't know. Oh, yeah, there's significant evidence. This is what our government tells us. Are we supposed to believe them? What else do we have here? Oh, yes, the modern-day Bay of Pigs. Some of you may have heard this. Venezuelan authorities detain U.S. citizens allegedly involved in an incursion. This is also out of Reuters. Venezuelan authorities have detained two U.S. citizens working with a U.S. military veteran who has claimed responsibility for a failed armed incursion into the oil-producing country, President Nicolas Maduro said on Monday. In a state television address, Maduro said authorities arrested 13, quote, terrorists on Monday, allegedly involved in a plot he said was coordinated with Washington to enter the South American country via the Caribbean coast and ouster. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, one man's terrorist is another man's patriot. Eight people were killed during the foiled incursion attempt on Sunday, Venezuelan authorities said. Maduro showed what he said were the U.S. passports and other identification cards belonging to Iron Berry and Luke Denman, who he said were in custody and had been working with Jordan Gaudreau, an American military veteran who leads a Florida-based security company called Silvercorp USA. Quote, they were playing Rambo. They were playing hero, end quote, Maduro said, adding that Venezuelan authorities had caught wind of the plot before its execution. Gaudreau, who identified himself as an organizer of the invasion on Sunday, told Reuters on Monday that Berry and Denman were also involved. Quote, they're working with me. Those are my guys, end quote. The State Department did not provide any immediate comment on the alleged arrests. U.S. officials have strongly denied any U.S. government involvement in the incursions. Now, also, ladies and gentlemen, just understand, I do believe there is a $15 million bounty on Maduro. So these guys could have been acting as mercenaries. Former Green Beret, by the way. A person familiar with the matter said the two U.S. citizens were captured on Monday in a second-day roundup of accomplices and were believed to be in the custody of Venezuelan military intelligence. Opposition leader Juan Guaido cast doubt on the government's version of Sunday's events, insisting Maduro is seeking to distract from other problems in recent days, including a deadly prison riot and a violent gang battle in Caracas. Opposition leader Juan Guaido cast doubt on the government's version of Sunday's events. Which government? Which government? Ours or theirs? Mr. Guaido, the U.S. government or the Venezuelan? Remember, this is the guy who announced himself El Presidente in the town square, who was a guest of honor of the president this year during his State of the Union address. All coincidental, I'm sure. Guaido's communications team on Monday denied media reports that Guaido had hired Silvercorp to remove Maduro by force, adding the opposition leader and his allies, quote, have no relationship with or responsibility for the actions of the company Silvercorp, end quote. In a statement on Monday evening, Guaido's team said, quote, we demand the human rights of the people captured in recent hours be respected, end quote. Washington has imposed tough economic sanctions against Venezuela in an effort to oust Maduro, whom it accuses of having rigged elections in 2018. Maduro's government says the United States wants to control Venezuela's massive oil reserves. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, all of the saber rattling, all of the fooling around in these countries, we have no business meddling in. But that's what we do. Not learning our lesson, evidently. So we can go spend millions and billions and trillions of dollars that we don't have messing with some other people's government and lives. Of course, if it happened here, we wouldn't tolerate it for a second, but it's perfectly okay for us to do it elsewhere, and we wonder why so many people dislike the United States of America. Geez, that's a head-scratcher, isn't it? Unbelievable. Modern-day Bay of Pigs. It could be. It could be. Now, it's going to be very interesting what happens with these two gentlemen who were arrested, and the others, right? What are we to do? Will there be some back channeling between our State Department and the Foreign Office in Venezuela? Will there be some covert action by current Green Berets or Navy SEALs or some other secret or special operations force here in the United States to go get these guys out of custody? What will take place? It's getting very hairy, right? There's a lot of unknowns. Hopefully these guys are okay. Hopefully we can get them back in this country. But you know what? Time will tell. Time will tell. But it's always these stupid little things that cause some of the biggest problems. I don't know how many times I have to say it. So that's why I'm calling this episode War Propaganda Beginning. Because you got the COVID-19, which we said was going to be something, the blame game was going to start heating up, and that's exactly what's been taking place. That was no surprise. That's no shock. And also, you have to understand, this is 2020. It's a presidential election year. So this is strong politics for the president. He knows how to hint very well at these things, the blame game. And this isn't just something from this president. This is what all politicians do. Okay, the Chinese are going to be blaming us. They're going to be blaming the Europeans, already doing it. The Europeans are going to be blaming the Chinese. This is just going to be a huge, huge finger-pointing exercise. Where the chips fall, we don't know. We hope it is not war. But if history is any guide, there's going to be something that takes place. And don't be surprised if things are already taking place, right? Proxy wars, economic warfare, cyber warfare, all the stuff in the shadows, right? Here's another one on the war front. Israel vows to pursue Syria operations until Iran leaves. Well, good luck with that one. Israel will keep up its operations in Syria until its arch enemy, Iran, leaves, Defense Minister Naftali Bennett said Tuesday after strikes on Iranian-backed militias and their allies killed 14 fighters. Israel has launched hundreds of attacks in Syria since the start of the civil war back in 2011, targeting government groups, allied Iranian forces, and fighters from Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. The Jewish state rarely confirms details of its operations in Syria, but says Iran's presence in support of President Bashar al-Assad is a threat and that it will continue its attacks. Bennett, speaking to the state-owned Khan 11 television news channel, did not claim Israeli responsibility for the latest overnight strikes on Syria, but he said, quote, Iran has nothing to do in Syria, and we won't stop before they leave Syria, end quote. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights War Monitor said the strikes came minutes after Syrian air defenses intercepted Israeli air raids over the north of the country. A spokesman for the U.S.-led coalition battling the Islamic State group said it was not responsible for the raids in the desert near the eastern Syrian town of Mayadin. Bennett said Iran was, quote, trying to establish itself on the border with Israel to threaten Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and Haifa, end quote. His allegation is not new and has often been made by Israeli officials. This is our life we are talking about, the life of our children. If we allow them to settle in Syria in a year, we will wake up with 10,000 missiles, 20,000 missiles that would put us in danger. Nothing like a lot of fear-mongering to get your justification for more warfare, right? Quote, for them, it's an adventure. They're 1,000 kilometers away. It's their Vietnam in a way, Bennett said. The Israeli defense minister said Iran should be more concerned with its own citizens and mounting domestic problems. They have enough problems at home with the coronavirus and the collapsing economy. Of course, the coronavirus is making the economic sanctions that the United States has on Iran that much worse. And of course, we were talking last week, gold, oil, and war, with how the Iranians were assisting the Venezuelans with some oil refinery capacity, and how that was that trade was compensated for in gold. In gold. So are they attempting to circumvent the U.S. dollar? Are they attempting to circumvent all fiat currencies? Or is Venezuela trying to get their gold out of their country because they think something's happening? A combination thereof. All this stuff is interconnected. Have to pay attention to all of it. And then lastly here, this is more back to the financial front, but something that was interesting today. This is out of the BBC. German court criticizes European Central Bank crisis bond buying. This could be very big. Now, there's still a few months for everything to play out, but this made some news today. Germany's top court has ruled that the European Central Bank's mass bond buying to stabilize the Eurozone partly violates the German Constitution. The ruling relates to government debt worth 2.1 trillion euros bought by the ECB, the European Central Bank, since 2015, but not purchases in the coronavirus crisis. The Constitutional Court in Karlsruhe says there is not enough German political oversight in the purchases. Germany's Bundesbank carries the most weight in the ECB's decision. Later, the EU's executive appeared to play down the ruling by stressing that the EU law takes precedence. Quote, notwithstanding the analysis of the decision of the German Constitutional Court today, we reaffirm the primacy of the EU law, says a European Commission spokesman. In 3 months' time, the Bundesbank could pull out of the ECB's bond purchases. That is the deadline that the judges have set for the ECB to give a valid explanation. Italy is among the countries most reliant now on ECB bond purchases because of the severe economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Again, looking for the coronavirus as a convenient excuse to justify the unjustifiable. More money printing. Doesn't matter if it's here in the Federal Reserve in the United States. Doesn't matter if it's in Europe with the European Central Bank. Let's not worry about how mismanaged everything was prior to COVID-19. Let's just put all of that behind us. There's COVID-19, and then there's the future, and that's it. And that's it. What is the impact of this ruling? The court decision was being closely watched by the markets after the announcement the euro fell, as did the Eurozone debt ratings. Market analysts quoted by Reuters say the ruling raises fresh doubts about the ECB's massive bond buying program, also known as quantitative easing. It may also put pressure on the ECB's current 750 billion euro bond buying scheme aimed at helping the Eurozone through the coronavirus crisis. Why did the ruling come about? Well, the ECB's mass bond buying was launched after the Eurozone's 2010 crisis as support for the euro besides the EU's national bailouts for Greece and some other countries. The scheme challenged in court is called the Public Sector Purchase Program, PSPP, launched in March of 2015, under which the ECB had bought 2.1 trillion euros of bonds by November of 2019. Separately, the ECB bought bonds worth another half a trillion euros. And then lastly, what else did the judges have to say? The court ruled that the German government and parliament had failed to ensure that the ECB's purchases were, quote, proportionate. But the court did not find that the ECB's actions had violated the EU ban on direct budgetary support. That was in line with the European Court of Justice, which ruled in December of 2018 that PSPP purchases did not go beyond the ECB's mandate. The Karlsruhe court also said Tuesday's ruling, quote, does not concern the current EU or ECB financial aid provided in the coronavirus crisis, end quote. It is now up to the ECB to explain how its mass bond buying program is, quote, proportionate. The Bundesbank could pull out if it is not satisfied in 3 months' time, which would be a big blow to the Eurozone. The judges also instructed the ECB to sell the bonds accumulated under the PSPP. This is basically Germany throwing its weight around, giving itself an out if it needs it. If a lot of things come to the fore where it's not just Italy, but it's Spain, it's Portugal, it's Greece again, it's Ireland, it's other northern European countries who are suffering serious consequences because of their actions prior to COVID-19, and then obviously everything that has been exacerbated because of COVID-19. So Germany doesn't want to be on the hook to bail out everybody and their mother. They don't want to play that game again. Can't blame them. But you also have to understand, because of all the other things that we talk about here, is Germany isn't as solid as the world would have you believe either. Because they have a couple banks that are turds. Deutsche Bank and Commerce Bank. Remember, they tried merging them together, and then they realized, well, two pieces of crap merged together is just one giant piece of crap. And they said, ah, we're going to move away from that. The Germans are smart. They got it together. They figured that one out. So Germany isn't immune to this either. But this gives them an out if they want to say, well, you know what, we're not going to be a part to this. We're not going to be a party to this either, because we're going to be on the hook for it. And we're not playing that game. This is the same type of dance that's being played here in the United States, or you can have the quote-unquote stronger states bailing out the quote-unquote weaker states. Well, you know, where do you draw the line? It's perfectly okay to continue to bailing out Commerce Bank or Deutsche Bank or anybody else on the corporate front, but when it comes to bailing out or assisting other countries, other states, what have you, that's where they draw the line in the sand. Tells you who owns who, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Tells you who they're working for, doesn't it? No, it's not the people. It's those corporations and who lines their political coffers. And then lastly, poor people of Africa, the African locusts are still there. They have now multiplied by a huge factor. They are now about 1 trillion in number. The next batch, if they make it, and it looks like they will, could be here by June or July. And typically, every type of generation has the ability to multiply by a factor of 20. So we're already at a trillion. I mean, this is going to overtake the U.S. national debt before we know it. So these poor people. Now, there was some good news in one of the articles that I read, because these guys are so small, these locusts, that they are pretty much just taken with the wind. And right now, they've been taken away from a lot of the farmland. But just as quickly as the wind took them away, they could bring them back. But with everything that's going on, with the global shortages in food, with COVID-19, with the borders being shut down, so many of these nations who are affected by these locusts are not getting the assistance that they need. This puts millions of people in harm's way when it comes to the real likelihood of further famine, which we talked about last week as well from the UN, predicting multiple famines throughout 2020, which is something that we have been discussing here for quite a while, unfortunately. So all of that war propaganda beginning, I think it's already begun. I think it's been here for quite a while. I think now it's starting to pick up. I think if and when the economy starts to reopen, all of the scapegoats, all of the finger pointing, once the political year, the presidential election starts picking up steam again over the coming months, a lot of finger pointing is going to take place. So buckle up. Buckle up and be prepared. Thank you so much for joining me. Please like, share, subscribe. Get the word out. Leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.